Blog Talk Radio.
Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Rick Muscoso here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. Welcome to all our viewers and listeners out there. Today is Tuesday at 10 a.m. As usual, we're here to provide free legal and marketing tips. And before we do that, though, I wanted to introduce my co-host, Bill Bernard, to the screen and welcome him to the show. So how are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing just great, Rick. Thank you. Great intro as usual. We're here for another Bottled Business Sense Show, the ultimate show when it comes to protection and prosperity for your business, as I like to say. And we're here as every week to give free information to the young and old entrepreneurs out there, the small business, large business owners who want to make sure that their business is safely protected and that it is prosperous and remains so, through both legal and marketing tips that we provide. And today's show is no different. We're going to get right into it. And I thought, you know, we talk about two topics that are interrelated many times, partnerships and joint ventures, what exactly they are, how do you use them? And you know that, Rick, for many years, I've been a big disproponent, if you will, of partnerships. I don't like them. They don't afford any protection. But nevertheless, they are a tool out there that people use. And today, I think I'm going to be able to show you how, if one person has a partnership and you want to do business with them, you can nevertheless protect yourself by entering into a joint venture if you want to become more involved with them than you would based on just a single one-time or two-time deal. If you want to continue to do business with them on a special level, if you will.
That's an interesting topic that you bring up, because from my experience in a joint venture in the internet marketing space, it seems to be, at least where I've seen it and where I've used it, it is more with an affiliate arrangement, right? Where you have JVs come in that also promote your product and service for a small affiliate fee. And it's typically temporary based for the launch of that product.
Very true in many respects. And we'll see how exactly what you mean here in just a couple of minutes. But let's start off with a basic a definition of a partnership, which is many times described as a voluntary association of two or more people who jointly own and carry on a business for a profit. And there is no legal established entity per se, but it is a business, could be under a DBA, and it has two major points that you want to recognize. Number one, that it doesn't necessarily have to be in writing. There doesn't have to be a partnership agreement. The intent of the parties is all that matters to establish a partnership. That is, by your actions and the way you treat each other and the way you set up the business, a partnership can be presumed. And number two, and most importantly, in a partnership, you are liable for all of the liabilities and the debts equally in a partnership. So that's why I don't like partnerships, but nevertheless, they exist. A joint venture can be described as a business undertaking by two or more people engaged in a single defined project. which is what you were touching upon, Rick, mm-hmm. It can be determined by the circumstances. Perhaps you have a single project that you want to accomplish with somebody, so you enter into a joint venture with them. Now, interestingly enough, it could be two partnerships entering into a joint venture. It could be a sole practitioner entering into a joint venture with a partnership, or two sole practitioners entering into a joint venture, or an LLC entering into a joint venture with another LLC, an LLC entering into one with a joint with a partnership, etc. The deal is you want to accomplish a certain goal. Now, that goal may take 6 months. It may take 6 years. But that's the essence of the joint venture. The other aspect of a joint venture is, as opposed to accomplishing a specific goal, you want to carry on this business for 2 years. So you have a defined time limitation attached to it. That's also a distinguishing characteristic between a joint venture and any other type of business contract that you're going to enter into. Remember that the elements of any express or implied agreement means that you have a common purpose and that you're going to share the liabilities. So a joint venture is more of a contractual arrangement, where a partnership is a business arrangement. Now, yes, you can have business partnership agreements, but a joint venture is kind of just out there combining two businesses together in whatever form they may take. And then the contract specifies when the joint venture will cease or come to an end. But each of the partners, if you will, to the joint venture, whether it be a sole practitioner or a partnership or a partnership and a partnership, they're mutually liable for the debts and liabilities of that agreement. Now, let's say you, interestingly enough, you have two LLCs involved. Well, two LLCs can enter into a joint venture, right? But what's the beauty about that? That means that if you're sued for any obligation that you're sharing together in the joint venture, you are limited to a recovery by nature to the value of the business. So your personal assets can't be touched. And so that's why I always say, if you're going to enter into a joint venture, do it by way of a formalized business entity. And if the other side isn't a formalized business entity, no problem. You'll share half the debts, but you're going to be protected in terms of anything else that may come your way. If you're ever sued by way of that joint venture, if you've done something wrong and you're sued, you're going to be protected to the limitations of your share of the liability and the value of whatever that company is worth, that LLC is worth.
So there's no shield. There's no protection at all entering into a JV agreement. Just as if you were, it's just formalized compared to a partnership, right?
Right. And it affords that entity protection, that asset protection. Mm-hmm. Remember that joint ventures, and this is worth repeating, are generally distinguished from partnerships, because that's where we started the show. I want to distinguish those, but bring in these other aspects about LLCs as well. Are distinguished from partnerships by the mere limited scope and duration that they have, joint ventures, that is. A partnership, on the other hand, engages in business for an indefinite period of time. So again, not to make this confusing, but let's take this from the top. If you have a joint venture, it's limited in scope and in duration, right? That doesn't mean that if you are in a joint venture and you are a partnership, you don't also carry on your business as the partnership for an indefinite period of time. It's just that you only carry on the business in that partnership for a specific duration in terms of the joint venture. So you have Partnership A and Partnership B. Partnership A and Partnership B carry on business as a partnership for as long as they exist. But Partnership A and Partnership B only carry on business for a specific duration as it regards the joint venture that they enter into for that specific reason. Make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So that is the real distinguishing feature of these two business terms. Remember that when you involve yourself in a joint venture or a partnership, you need to determine what your tax treatment is going to be, because remember that one of the main reasons business owners are concerned about the election between a partnership and a joint venture is taxes. Partnerships are considered pass-through tax entities, just like an S corporation. What does that mean? That means when you draw out your income, you pass it through to your personal tax return. Mm-hmm. You don't have to file a separate tax return for purposes of income. Now, you have to file a separate tax return if you have an S corporation, because you need to show the value of the S corporation, but you're not passing through the income from the S corporation. Excuse me, you are passing through the income from the S corporation to your personal return. Likewise, you're passing through the income you receive from your partnership to your personal return. Okay? So they're considered pass-through entities. Okay, and the partners each pay their share of the profits or deduct their share of the losses on their individual tax return. Joint ventures can be taxed as a corporation or a partnership. So you can elect to have a joint venture. Remember, two business entities entering into a business agreement for a specific duration. That joint venture in and of itself and the money made from that joint venture can be taxed as a partnership, as a pass-through entity, or a corporation. And I would urge people that are involved in partnerships and joint ventures together to make sure they consult with their tax attorney or their CPA to make sure that they have the proper election. One of the benefits, for example, of partnerships is that they offer greater flexibility with regard to allocations of gains and losses. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say that, excuse me, you're able to structure your partnership so that one partner receives 50% of the profits, okay, generated by the business, and 99% of the losses. Or maybe you're Rick, you and I are in a partnership, and you're going to get 60% of the profits, and I'm going to get 40% of the profits. Whatever those profits are, whatever we take out, will we pass through to our individual tax return. But the bottom line is those profits can be adjusted, right? Mm-hmm. Just like with an LLC. In an LLC, you can designate certain amount of profits to each member of the LLC. With an S corporation, your profits are stabilized. You get the profits according to the amount of shares that you hold. Okay, so there's a little flexibility with an LLC and with a partnership in terms of designating how much profit and how much losses each member of the partnership or each member of the LLC is going to have.
Yeah, so I have two questions then. First, going back to your definition, what is necessary then? And I think you already answered this, but maybe review it again. Is what documentation is necessary to formalize the joint venture? And then when it goes to considering the tax ramifications of this joint venture agreement, is that's something you determine upfront in the joint venture agreement, correct?
Yes. The answer to your second question is yes. And the first part of your question, you need a joint venture agreement, which is in some respects similar to an operating agreement for an LLC or a partnership agreement for a partnership. You need to define the parameters of the joint venture, how the profits will be split, how the taxes are going to occur, that sort of thing. So you cover a lot of the same basics in a joint venture agreement, but it's important to spell those out because you want to make sure you understand what the rights and obligations and the duties of each of the parties are. So yes, you need to have a joint venture agreement when any two businesses decide to enter into a joint venture. And remember, it's worth mentioning again, just want to keep reminding everybody, a joint venture is a concept where two businesses can get together to accomplish a specific goal or for a specific duration of time. Those businesses can be two partnerships, two LLCs, an LLC and a partnership and a sole practitioner, two sole practitioners. You get my gist. Yeah. The form of the business is different than the nature of the agreement that those businesses are going to enter into. The joint venture is specified for a duration or for the accomplishment of a specific goal. Then the joint venture ends, and then you go on your merry way and conduct your own business in whatever form you're already in.
What happens if there's a dispute or a disagreement in the way the, or just, it just isn't working out. You originally come on and agreed to a 2-year joint venture agreement. And let's say after year one, the direction changes. What happens then?
Well, then you have provisions by which one or both members of the joint venture can withdraw. If there are no provisions for that and it's meant to last for as long as it's supposed to last, you have an arbitration agreement, or excuse me, an arbitration clause in the joint venture agreement, which provides for potentially mediation and then arbitration to resolve the disputes, to make sure that you don't have to go to court. And you probably have a provision for attorney's fees so that the winner of the mediation and or arbitration, the person in the right for whatever dispute arises, will be able to recover their attorney's fees. Mm. So that's how you would provide for it. And those are the same provisions, by the way, that are in many other types of business agreements, operating agreements, partnership agreements, and the like. Let's talk a little bit in the remainder part of the show about liability issues for partners versus co-joint venturers. Generally, partners in a partnership are jointly and severally liable for the partnership obligations. We touched on this briefly. It's worth mentioning. You and I are partners. One of us screws up. You and I are both liable for your screw-up, Rick. You notice I mentioned it would be your screw-up, not mine. But so this means that every partner is liable for his or her own actions, okay, of the other partners, and the actions of the employees that the partners might have as well, by the way. In general, however, members of a joint venture, okay, that is set up as a separate corporation or limited liability company will only be liable to the extent of their investment. So how does this differ from what we were saying? If we have an LLC and a partnership out there, let's say the profits of that joint venture are going to be split 50-50, okay? That joint venture partnership will require the rights and obligations of the parties to be split 50-50. But if joint venture LLC is sued for whatever reason, the recovery is going to be limited to the value of that business. Now, let's take this one step further. Let's say we have Mr. Partnership over here and Mr. Partnership over here, A and B. They form an LLC for purposes of the joint venture. Now it doesn't matter that they're both partnerships because the joint venture becomes an LLC for the 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, whatever duration period there is. So now, rather than being obligated to pay for individually for each other's mess ups, whatever happens, it means that they're limited to the nature of the investment interest in that LLC or in that S corporation, right? Mm-hmm. So you can actually make the joint venture itself an LLC. So now we're going a step further. We talked about how partnerships are different from joint ventures in terms of one's a business entity, so to speak, not a formalized entity, but a business entity nevertheless. And then the joint venture is a concept whereby these two entities do business together for a certain period of time. Now we're elevating that and making these two partnerships a joint venture LLC. And the LLC is disposed of once the joint venture is completed. So now they have liability protection by conducting a joint venture under an LLC as opposed to a joint venture partnership.
Yeah,
right?
So they're only protected in the common goals of that joint venture.
Right.
Yeah.
So if the joint, and this is the key right here, if the joint venture, again, we're going to deal with two partnerships here because that's the show is trying to talk about partnerships and joint ventures and the distinctions between them. If you have two partnerships and you have a joint venture agreement, you are limited by that agreement. You are limited by way of your protection. You will both suffer personal liability if you're sued. If you have an LLC or an S corporation, principally an LLC, for purposes of a joint venture, now you're not governed by the joint venture agreement. You're governed by the operating agreement within the LLC itself, which manifests and covers specific terms of the joint venture. So you get the best of both worlds. You have the joint venture, and you get the protection of the LLC if you're sued. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, it makes total sense to make sure that you are protected in that situation. So,
right. So now we've taken this show to distinguishing between partnerships and joint ventures to now saying, hey, let's make the joint venture an LLC. If nothing else, let's make the joint venture an LLC. If you have two partnerships out there that don't have a formalized business structure, at least let's make it the joint venture an LLC to protect both sides. Okay, and finally, I wanted to mention that there are fiduciary duties that the partners of partners versus co-joint venturers. So now let's go back to the two partnerships on each side. A partner in a general partnership owes a fiduciary duty to the partnership and the other partners. So you and I are in business together. We owe each other a fiduciary duty to act in good faith, to principally not compete with one another, and to make sure that we use good business judgment. This includes duties of loyalty, I just mentioned, and good faith, of course. And the fiduciary duties of co-venturers are similar to those in a partnership, although co-joint venturers are not treated identically. For instance, fiduciary duties of a member of a joint venture are often deemed and tailored to the business activities. So here's what we want to make sure everyone understands, Rick. When you're in a partnership, you and I, we owe each other fiduciary duties, the ones I just went over. Partnership B over here owes its partnership members the same fiduciary duties. So you're partnership A, I'm partnership B. We owe our partners fiduciary duties. We now want to enter into a joint venture together. We, as joint co-joint venturers, we will tailor the obligations that we owe each other specifically the way we want to by way of the joint venture contract agreement. So that will not be as broadly construed. We can narrow what our obligations are to each other as opposed to the more broadly construed fiduciary duties that partners owe each other within a partnership. So that contract is very important because you can tailor it in a manner and means that will be beneficial to the co-joint ventures. And when I use the phrase co-joint ventures, I mean two businesses that are conducting a joint venture. They're both a joint venturer, so they are co-joint ventures. Clear as mud?
Yeah. No, I'm following you. Even me, I can.
No, I know you are. I hope our listeners are. I have this out there on the internet. I'll make sure it's out there for people to take a look at again. But to really kind of nip it in the bud, and to end the show with a brief recap. Remember, partnerships are non-formalized business entities. They don't have to have an agreement. It's deemed a partnership by the intent of the parties. They can have an agreement, though. They owe each other broad fiduciary duties. They can change how the profits and liabilities are split up. But they're both obligated typically to the 50-50, to the debts of the corporate, to the debts of the partnership, if something isn't spelled out otherwise. They can enter into a joint ventures. A joint venture is something that is limited in terms of goals or scope of duration. Different business entities can enter into joint ventures. They do it by way of a formalized contract, or two different business entities, whether they're formal, like an LLC or an S-Corp, or informal, like a partnership or a sole practitioner or a proprietorship, they can enter into joint ventures by way of creating an LLC specifically for that joint venture purpose, and therefore obtain the protection of the LLC for purposes of that joint venture up to the value of that LLC, or whatever the contributions are of that LLC.
Mm-hmm.
For tax purposes, partnerships are passed through entities. They pass through your those are things that you need to sit down and discuss with your accountant should you decide to form a partnership or, for that matter, a joint venture.
Right. So it's pretty clear, Bill, to me then that, I've heard you say this many times that, although you're not a proponent, well, you're not a proponent of partnerships and more of a proponent, obviously, of formalized business entities. Let me take this a little further, just hypothetically. Let's say you have two formal entities wanting to join in a JV agreement. So you have two LLCs that want to come together for a joint venture. Now, it's not necessary to formalize. There's no need to formalize that agreement in the form of another entity. Is there in the business dealings of the joint agreement or the JV agreement?
You can do that if you want, but
is that overkill or?
Well, not necessarily. Perhaps there's something that they want to accomplish where they want to be afforded not only the protection of their own business, but the protection of that joint venture agreement. Maybe somebody is going to sue not only the LLC that they're involved in, but the LLC that they formed before they entered the joint venture. But principally, based on your example, if the two LLCs are entering into the joint venture, they could probably be best served by formalizing a joint venture agreement, which specifies both of their rights and obligations. And then they're pretty much covered because the individual who's bringing the lawsuit would probably sue both of those LLCs that are in the joint venture anyway.
Mm-hmm. Is there any high risk type of business where you may give us an example where that would be the case, where they would, two LLCs coming together would formalize into a separate business entity for that joint agreement or that joint venture?
Well, not that I can think of off the top of my head, although it would have to be some high risk venture where the two LLCs perhaps don't normally do business in a particular area, but they see a chance to make some money over the short term. And so they want to enter into a joint venture agreement just for purposes of this particular way to make some quick capital. For example, let's say you have two LLCs that are engaged in two different types of businesses, but they're business savvy owners and they decide they want to form an LLC to go ahead and enter into a new business that they don't normally conduct under their own LLCs for the purpose of making a quick kill. Then what you would do is, rather than put the LLCs, Rick, into the new LLC for purposes of the joint venture, you would just have the members of each of the LLCs step out of the shoes of their individual LLCs and form a new LLC where they both join in just for that specific joint venture. So the new LLC concept that they've now devised has nothing to do with the other two LLCs. So Joe has an LLC, Bill has an LLC. Bill and Joe decide to step out of the shoes of their individual LLCs and form a new LLC just for purposes of this joint venture of which they're both members. That's the way I think typically you would do it. The LLCs that they both own would not become members of the new LLCs. The members of the existing LLCs would step outside and become members of the newly created LLC for purposes of that joint venture.
When you say step outside of their current LLCs, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that in a manner of speaking. They don't stop the LLCs that they currently own from functioning. They just simply say, okay, Bill owns LLC number one, Joe owns LLC number two. Now we're going to create LLC number three, and Bill and Joe are going to be members of that LLC, and we're leaving LLC one and two completely out of it.
Okay.
All we're doing is creating a new LLC, which has new members in it, of which happen to be Joe and Bill. Now we go back to Joe's LLC, and the LLC members in that might be Joe and Mary, and in Bill's individual LLC, it might be Bill and Linda.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did I answer your question okay?
Yeah, you did. You did. This is fascinating and really good stuff. And I hope our viewers out there appreciate this information as much as I do, because Bill certainly is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to business entities and this sort of topic. So if you have any questions in regards to today's topic or any other business-related legal question, you can certainly direct them Bill's way. And what's the best way for somebody to do that, Bill?
Well, the website, of course. I have WFBLegalConsulting.com, BusinessAssetProtection365.com, of course, BottledBusinessSenseShow.com, BottledBusinessSense.com, which is the newsletter. And the phone numbers would be both 949 area code, and the numbers would be 413-6535 or 698-6222. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And I do, again, provide a free consultation.
That's awesome. Yeah, for our viewers out there, even if we don't speak about certain topics here, I'd go to Bill's website, subscribe to the bottlebusinesssense.com. And that's Bill's newsletter, because he covers a wealth of information outside even what we discuss here in the show. And then some of the topics that we do talk about here on the show, he goes more in depth with in the newsletter. So subscribe to that. It's a wealth of information, and you can certainly get a lot of information there at bottledbusinesssense.com. So,
and, you know, I would like to just briefly say, Rick, you know, part of the stuff I like to do in life is teach. You know, I've been a law school professor for 10 years. I no longer teach. But when I did, one of the greatest satisfactions I got was when the student came up and said, hey, I couldn't have done that without you, or you really helped me. And that's worth all the money in the world, or close to it. Believe me, it's a great, great reward. So I'm happy to try to do that. And I have gotten feedback from viewers, but I'm happy to try to do that here on the show as well. I do have a disclaimer, of course, at the end of the show, because I can't be specific to the extent that I know your circumstances. You're not my client, but I do try to provide some basic information for you to use. And I know Rick does the same in terms of his marketing efforts. And so I want to thank him for that. And having said all of that, I'll look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Bill. This has been great. Again, reach out to Bill at WFBLegalConsulting.com. All of his contact information is there on his site. So,
well, we will see you next week. We'll look forward to it, and have a healthy, a prosperous week, and make that business sail along at warp speed. Okay?
All right. See you again soon. We'll see you again next week here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. Have a great day.
Bye-bye, everybody.